The word of God given to us today are Acts chapter 14, verse 13 through 18. Chapter 14, verse 13 through 18. Allow me to read. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and wrath to the city gates because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. When the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd, shouting, "Man, why are you doing this? We too are only men, human like you. We're bringing to you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God who made heaven and earth and sea and everything in them. In the past, he let all nations go their own way. Yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy." Even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them. Amen. The man in Lystra, who was paralyzed below the waist, did not become crippled as a result of a sudden accident. He was a man crippled from birth who had not once during his life been able to stand up or walk. The people of Lystra, who had witnessed this man get up and walk when Apostle Paul ordered him to stand up on your feet, could not help but be amazed. The people of Lystra, who worshipped the Greek gods, shouted that the gods had come down in human forms and believed that Barnabas' impressive in appearance to be Zeus and Apostle Paul, who was less impressive when compared to Barnabas, to be Hermes, Zeus' messenger. The priest in the temple of Zeus brought sacrificial bulls and wrath because he and the people wanted to offer sacrifices to Paul and Barnabas. Upon learning what the people of Lystra were planning to do, Paul and Barnabas tore their clothes. For it was sacrilege for man to worship another man. Paul and Barnabas rushed into the crowd that had gathered to offer sacrifices to them and shouted, "We too are only man, human like you." They told the people that being human meant that they experienced the same things. All people are sinners, born naked into this world, eating, sleeping, and discharging themselves, and also like other people, upon meeting death, become feed for insects, such as maggots, and disappearing without a trace after becoming just a fistful of dust. As such, we're all merely human beings, and so it was absolutely senseless for a man to worship another man. In a word, Paul and Barnabas each knew his proper place. It certainly was Paul who commanded the crippled man to stand up on your feet, and simultaneously with such command, the crippled man suddenly stood up and walked. The people of Lystra had no doubt that it was Paul's power that raised the crippled man from birth to his feet. This is why they wanted to offer a sacrifice to him. But Paul knew all too well that it was not the work of his own power. It was the power of God. If Paul had for one moment mistakenly thought that it was his own power that caused the crippled man to get up and walk, Paul would have enjoyed being worshipped as a god by the people of Lystra, which would have resulted in Paul becoming feed to maggots and disappearing without trace 2,000 years ago without a name. However, Paul did not forget who he was, a man who had persecuted the church and a thorn to others, a sinner who was destined to die. He was able to confess in his old age that, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Because he had not once forgotten who he was, and so God worked through his low and humble spirit. This is why it is very important for Christians not to forget who they are. Because Paul knew his proper place, he was able to shout to the people of Lystra who were trying to worship him that we too are only man, human like you. And Paul continued to testify in verse 15 as follows. Man, why are you doing this? We too are only man, human like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God who made heaven and earth and sea and everything in them. Paul stated that he was bringing the good news in order to cause people to turn from these worthless things to the living God who made heaven and earth and sea and everything in them. Today, at this time, we need to focus on what Paul meant when he said, turn from these worthless things. On first thought, because Paul has shouted, we too are only human like you, when the people of Lystra wanted to worship Paul as Hermes, a great god, one may interpret, turn from these worthless things to mean that the people of Lystra should turn from the act, worshiping another man while foolishly believing in Greek myths. Of course, that is the first meaning of Paul's words. However, Paul's words contained a deeper meaning. Paul testified to our living God who made heaven and earth as follows. Look at verse 16. In the past, he let all nations go their own way. Before God's word reached the people, God let all men go their own way according to their own judgment. The Greek word eao, which is translated into Korean as let, means tacitly consent, tolerate, and permit. This, however, does not mean that God, without question, forgave all sins committed by man who did not know God's word. It only meant that God's judgment of man who did not know God had been postponed until God's word had reached them. Look at verse 17. Yet he has not left himself without testimony. The fact that it was prior to the time God gave a special sign to the people did not mean that God had not been revealed to them. Let's look at the verse 17 again. Yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. Even before the spreading of His word, He revealed Himself night and day through nature, such as the sun in the sky, the rain from time to time, and the changing of seasons for harvest. However, man did not know that it was God who made the sun rise every morning, the rain fall from time to time, and the season change. This was because God could not be seen by the human eye. And man, being foolish, did not know that God could not be seen. Therefore, man worshipped only those things that their eyes could see. Man not only worshipped natural objects, such as the sun, trees, rocks, and animals, but 2,000 years ago, the people in the Mediterranean region believed in 12 gods of Greek mythology, who all took the form of human beings, who could be seen by them. This was the reason why the people of Lystra wanted to offer a sacrifice to Barnabas, who they called Zeus, and Paul, who they called Hermes, after seeing the crippled man get to his feet and walk. To them, God was someone who existed in physical form and could be seen in this world. Then we can realize the true meaning of what Paul said to the people of Lystra: you should turn from these worthless things. What Paul called worthless things was to worship something that is visible to the eyes. Apostle Paul was telling the people of Lystra to stop worshiping worthless visible things. Why is it worthless to worship something that is visible to the eyes? It is because what is visible is apt to perish. To worship something that is perishable with one's life is like taking a shortcut to self-destruction. What would be more worthless to a finite man than that? Through the history, the difference between worldly things people worship as God and Jehovah God, who is described in the Bible for you, is that God is someone invisible to the human eye. In other words, God is the only God who does not carry a physical form and who is invisible to the eyes. Carrying a physical form means, regardless of the form, that goes beyond time and space. You may have seen the images of God made by man, which has many arms on both sides or have multiple eyes on the face. Such statues represent that the godly image has many eyes that looks over many people and many hands to to help many people. However, the number of arms and eyes are at most 10. Even if we try to make millions of eyes and arms to the statue, would it be possible to look over and help the 6 billion people on Earth? Even if we make millions of eyes and arms to the visible statue, the statue cannot overcome space and time. However, since God is without visible form, He's not ruled by time or space. Not to mention that He rather overcomes time and space to rule over all things in the universe. And He may be with us individually, one by one. As I mentioned at newcomers class, the light of this chapel may be with us. However, as we leave the chapel, the lights cannot follow us because the lights are under the control of the chapel. However, unlike the lights in the chapel, the sun follows us even when we travel to Mokpo from Seoul. For people traveling from Mokpo to Seoul, the sun follows them to Seoul. Wherever we go, the sun follows us personally. The sun is able to follow us around wherever we go because it is much bigger than the lights in the chapel, bigger to an incomparable degree. But if we go underground, or if it is nighttime, we become blocked from the sun. The sun, too, is limited by time and space. However, infinite spirit of God, who is greater than the sun, can overcome time and space. Because God is the infinite spirit without a physical form, God accompanies us person to person, wherever we are. God is with us even when I cross the ocean Pacific, and holds me even when I fall underground. If God had a form that can be seen, regardless of the grandeur of the form, He would not have been able to overcome space and time. All is possible because the Spirit of God is formless and invisible to the human eyes. Because God is invisible and God is the Spirit, He's always among us and He does not perish and is the eternal life. It becomes clear that only those who are invisible may overcome time and space, may be God. But it was not possible for the people to figure out that God did not have a physical form. It was impossible for man who was tempted to perform seeing and who became unable to see God to understand that God is without form. For this reason, to the foolishness, people are serving worldly things, but they could not recognize that. This is the limit of human beings. So it is only natural for the people of Lystra who believed God is visible to call Paul and Barnabas God when they saw them raise up the congenitally crippled man in front of their eyes. However, Paul did not just leave those ignorant people alone. He was there to preach about the gospel and tried hard to teach them that it is worthless to worship something that is visible to the eyes. Thus, that is why he told the people that he is worthless to think of him and Barnabas as God. He tells the people of Lystra that the reason why he is preaching is to turn away from the worthless things and to know that it is God who created the universe, the sun, and the ocean and prosperous fruits. He preached that it is important to believe in the Spirit of God. Those who believe in God all know that God does not have a form that is visible, that God is spirit that eyes cannot see. However, just because we know the fact, it does not mean that we do not refrain from believing things that we can't see and do vain things. The people of Israel were liberated from slavery in Egypt by the grace of God. Nevertheless, they made a golden calf and worshipped that golden calf, which they could see as the God who led them out of Egypt. Is that all? Even after they enter the land of Canaan, Israelites continuously worshipped idols of Canaan that could see with their eyes. Even if we were to look back on 2,000 years of Christianity, there were more times that Christians who should believe in God, who is not seen, worshipped the things of the world that can be seen. Today is no exception. Today, the reason that Christians of this land have become the laughingstock of the world is because they like and trust the things of this world that can be seen even more than the people of the world. To trust things that you can see with your eyes is not a true faith, because things that we can see are bound to become extinct one day. To trust things that you can see is a foolish thing to do. Vainly expediting one's own extinction, it is so foolish that it led Apostle Paul to rebuke through today's text to turn from these worthless things. Among our favorite hymns, there is the hymn 387. It starts as follows: I have wandered far indeed. Now I am weary, weak, and lame, lost in sadness, fears, and need, drifting listless without aim. Jesus, Jesus, Lord and friend, O come quickly, I implore. Leave me not, though time should end. Stay beside me evermore. These lyrics speak to the sadness and pain in living a life away from the Lord. But based on these lyrics alone, we are not able to know why the person in the song left the Lord and what the person sought after. These lyrics of the hymn that we sing today were made by Mr. Baird, which was completely different from the lyric that were originally given to the song by MacDonald in 1870. The original song starts as follows: I am coming to the cross. I am poor and weak and blind. I am counting all but dross. I shall full salvation find. The person of this lyric before God was a weak nobody who could not see. He could not see God, who is the Spirit, and he was blind spiritually. Since he could not see God, only thing he trusted and pursued after were things of the world that he could see. And the more he worshipped the things of this world, the more his life became poor and tiring. And the song continues as follows: Here I give my all to thee, friends and time and earthly store, soul and body thine to be, wholly thine forevermore. When he realized the limits of pursuing the things of this world, he finally put down everything that he had been worshiping before the Lord's feet. And his song at refrain ends this way: I am trusting, Lord, in thee, blessed Lamb of Calvary, humbly at thy cross I bow. Save me, Jesus. Save me now. He prostrates himself under the cross and confesses that he will only trust in the Lord, who is invisible, and ask the Lord to save him. He came to belatedly understand that because only the true God who died on the cross as an offering for man's sin, who lived again, breaking death apart, ascended to heaven, and who came again in spirit to be with us, it is eternal life, eternal rest, and eternal peace can only the eternal God. These lyrics of the hymn remind us of Solomon's Ecclesiastes. Isn't Solomon the name that stands for riches and glory? At one time, he worshipped things of the world that can be seen to the extent of having as many as 1,000 wives and concubines. But was he happy? Definitely not. In the beginning of Ecclesiastes, he lamented that meaningless, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. He also had realized belatedly that to worship what can be seen was nothing more than extinction of the empty self. So Ecclesiastes, which laments the meaninglessness of life that worships things of this world, ends with the advice to fear God and keep His commandments. Ecclesiastes is in a way a confession that Solomon, who had at one time worshipped things of this world that can be seen, and a profession of commitment to serve only God, who cannot be seen with eyes, the eternal God. Don't we know from our experience how pathetic, how exhausting, how tiring the life of worshiping things of this world that we can see in the context of our relationship with God, our relationship with other people, and our relationship with our own selves? We cannot continue to live this way when we know this, can't we? The things of this world that we can see with our eyes are precious, but do not make them the purpose of your life. Things that are visible are just means of our life. Serving worldly things away from God is just a shortcut to self-destruction. There is no more vain life than expediting one's extinction by worshipping something that can be seen but which will surely become extinct. Eternal things are not visible to our eyes. Only God, who is the Spirit and is not visible, is eternal. Therefore, Paul, who said, "Turn from these foolish things," testifies as follows in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Let us pray.
We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.